This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And now we're moving on to a recent announcement. Dato' Sri Azalina Othman has been appointed the Prime Minister's Special Advisor on Law and Human Rights. This is something that's been being praised by human rights groups. So we thought we'd look at the position itself and what it might mean. So Azalina, of course, is the former deputy speaker in the Dewan Rakyat and one of the few UMNO lawmakers who has of late drawn support from Pakatan Harapan MPs for her fair treatment of the opposition in parliament, of championing issues that really cross that partisan line. And so this appointment has been greeted with a lot of praise from numerous human rights groups. So, for instance, Citizens Against Enforced Disappearances, CAGED, has lauded the appointment and said that this signifies that the government cares about human rights and wants to improve our human rights record. They also said that Azalina has shown a good grasp of facts and a respect for the opposition in her ministerial roles. And also a sensitivity to human to the level of human rights in Malaysia, as well as global benchmarks. So this does bring about a number of questions in terms of what this role entails, what it might mean for our human rights record, and really whether this is something we should be emphasizing more in terms of having people in the government devoted exclusively to this area. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this appointment? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by human rights lawyer Andrew Koo. Andrew, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on your program.
So this role, it's newly created. Azalina was appointed for it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you have to distinguish two things. One is the individual and the other is the institution. So on the basis of the individual, I would welcome this appointment. I think Dato' Sri Azalina is a no-nonsense politician. Anybody who has dealt with her will know that she goes straight to the point. She cuts through the BS, and she, you know, understands the issues at hand. And let's not forget, she, in addition to being the former deputy speaker, she was at one time the minister in charge of law herself. So she certainly knows the law part. I think she's open to understanding more about the human rights elements of her role as advisor. So I think it's as an individual, I think it's a very good appointment and it should be lauded. But there is a but, and the but is, what exactly is her role going to be? So that's why I say you have to also look at it from an institutional perspective, because we already have a minister in charge of law. So how does the work of the special advisor on law and human rights sit alongside the role and responsibility of the minister in charge of parliament and law? So I think that's where I would have some reservations or some questions that would need to be answered.
So what do we know so far about how the role of an advisor differs from that of a minister, and in a larger sense, what that might entail?
Short answer is we don't. We've not really been told what are the terms of reference of this particular position. And you know, if you look at it from an institutional perspective, again, the concern is that you have all these extra cabinets. So outside of the immediate cabinet, you have all these extra cabinet appointments. We don't even know whether this position is a cabinet-level position. In the past, the previous Prime Minister had a special advisor and he was accorded cabinet status. We have other envoys and other people who are granted cabinet status appointments. So from a governance perspective, this may not be a good thing because it diffuses, it dilutes the roles and responsibilities of people. So it's a little bit of a two-way thing. On the one hand, you can say, this is an extra person that we can engage with. This is an extra person that we can talk to and provide advocacy towards and meet and discuss these sort of things. And that surely is a good thing. But how much of what we will tell the special advisor will actually end up getting to the Prime Minister? Or is this just a way of, you know, making sure that she is brought on board to the cabinet and or at a cabinet level, made to be part of the team so that she's not seen to be rocking the boat from outside the team?
How often are roles like these created and who identifies the need for them?
I don't know the answer to your second question, but Prime Minister Najib had a whole slew of different special advisors. So he had a science advisor. He had an advisor for religion. So even at the same time, when you had a minister in charge of science and technology and innovation, even when you had a minister in charge of the Islamic religion, special advisor for religion. So this is the issue. And to me, it is bringing back the idea of what others have called the presidential prime minister. So the prime minister has his cabinet, but then the prime minister then also has these special select individuals that become his direct advisors. And so the question is, if the prime minister is supposed to be the first amongst equals in the cabinet, and he should take advice from the cabinet, what is happening when he has advisors from outside the cabinet? How does that function alongside the role of the cabinet? So I think this is where the problem is. And it's not been sorted out how these things actually work out.
So let's look at the area that is under her purview, right? So you mentioned already that we do have a Minister for Law. But human rights, however, is something that isn't necessarily represented as an umbrella in the cabinet. Is this a good direction to go in? Is it significant that we're having an advisor for human rights?
Well, some of your listeners might recall that when Datuk Paul Lau was one of the ministers in the Prime Minister's department, he considered himself the minister in charge of human rights, integrity and governance. Mm. So in a sense, we talked to him as the interlocutor within government responsible for human rights, and he would raise it in cabinet, and he would raise it in his meetings with the PM and others. So the question is, if you now see that human rights is an important issue, then why not create a ministry in charge of human rights? Why only limit it to the level of a special advisor? Why not create a minister in charge of law and human rights, like what they have in Indonesia? There's actually a minister in the Indonesian cabinet, presidential cabinet, that is in charge of law and human rights. So if you are saying that you are appointing Datuk Sri Azalina to be an advisor on law and human rights, let's make it more permanent. Let's make it more concrete. Let's have a ministry in charge of law and human rights.
So let's look at Azalina herself. What do we know about her track record when it comes to human rights issues?
Well, as I said, she's been very forthright in her views. I remember working with her on issues relating to the death penalty and abolition of the death penalty, or at least some form of it. And, you know, she expressed some very clear views on what she felt were position in relation to death penalty and the mandatory nature of it. So, you know, I think she knows that. She's been very vocal in recent times about anti-hopping, and I think she's been in favour of a form of recall election so that, you know, there can be more accountability. And, you know, as you yourself have said in the lead-up to this interview, you know, there have been human rights groups that have welcomed her appointment because they are used to dealing with her. They like her forthrightness. They like her frankness. They like her no BS approach to things. And they feel that, you know, she is someone who is brave enough to tell the government what the government needs to know, and is not going to just, you know, downplay things for the sake of not wanting to upset the government. So I think where the individual is concerned, it's a very good choice. It's a very good pick. But you know, I feel that it should be institutionalized so that she can do far more.
What do you hope she will work towards in this role?
Well, there are several issues. So, for example, in terms of human rights, you have reforms that the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, Suhakam, has been wanting to put into their establishing legislation in order to strengthen the role of Suhakam and in order to strengthen the force given to respect for human rights. So that's certainly one issue. There are many issues at the moment where the government's a little bit wishy-washy about things like women's rights, gender equality, non-discrimination, anti-sexual harassment, gender-based violence. So all these issues, they feel, I think we all feel that Dato' Sri Azalina is a good spokesperson for these issues and will be able to, in some ways, articulate the needs from a human rights perspective on some of these issues. So those are some of the things that, you know, in a sense, her work is already, you know, clearly cut out for her.
Andrew, we just have about a minute left, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this particular time that this appointment is happening, you know, amidst all of this talk of reform and bipartisan cooperation. Do you think that this might mean that we might actually see some positive change when it comes to law and human rights?
I think that's certainly the hope. And I think you're saying that it's the right time. Yes, there is an opportunity at the moment to make some advances in terms of human rights. After all, the Malaysian government is seeking membership of the Human Rights Council at the United Nations in Geneva. So maybe this is, again, a way in which the government can demonstrate that it is serious about human rights. But ultimately, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and we will have to see what actually she will be able to accomplish.
Andrew, thanks for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
That was human rights lawyer Andrew Koo weighing in on Azalina Othman's appointment as special advisor on law and human rights. Do let us know what you think about this. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after the 7:30 news on Everyone's a Critic, we'll be reviewing an art exhibition on money, and that's called Make Money with Money, Make Art with Art. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.